These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
But I would say if you're not frustrated, there's something wrong with you, and you shouldn't be on this team. You shouldn't be a coach if you're not frustrated. We want to win. We want to put the effort. We do put the effort in week to week, every single day of practice. We have the guys, the quality guys, good football players on this team to do it. So if you're not frustrated, there's something wrong. We got to find a way.
Ooh. Yes.
Okay, that comment from Thielen comes with a little extra sauce and meaning. I don't know. By the way, Mackie and Judd here, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment.
That's okay. Just go ahead. Therapy. Still pissed off. Right? That's exactly right. I'm still worked up.
Oh, I am too. Yeah, but that comment from Thielen,
yeah,
comes with some extra sauce because late last night, his agent, who's a friend of the show, Blake Barrett, mm-hmm, has been on the show a number of times, and we all know Blake Barrett well, and he couldn't help himself. Like, he was pissed like everybody else was. And he tweeted last night a series of things, including "it's time ... Mm-hmm. And I will be, basically he said, I'm gonna cut open a vein tomorrow. So we'll see if he tweets anything else today. But that's Thielen's agent.
Yes.
And he represents multiple players. He's saying, I represent multiple Vikings and I can't watch this anymore.
Yes. And just to confirm that it is 100% going to be, the question is, the next day, is Blake going to tweet this? We don't know yet. But if he does, it is about coaching. Just to clear up any, like, Thielen's guy going to rip Kirk? He's not going to rip Kirk. It's about the coaching.
Is it fair to say, before we get into statements, because I, even without the Blake Barrett's tweets, I would have heard Thielen's comments, because he specifically lumped in coaches. He said coaches, right?
Yes. Yep.
And he's kind of telling you, guys, we have a good team. We work our asses off.
Yep.
And he's not saying it, but my sense is there's a real frustration between players and coaches right now, mm-hmm, on this team. And even the body language, Kirk Cousins in the first half, and by the way, like, Kirk Cousins deserves, we'll get pie chart of blame on Purple Daily today. We'll get to all of this. But, you know, there was a sequence where he's yelling at the sideline because they either couldn't get the play in or there was a personnel grouping that was wrong or something. Like, there's tension. It's boiling over. And there's obviously not harmony between players and coaches right now. And we'll see. I mean, there's still half the season to go. So
right,
this is explosive.
And from the players' perspective, I completely 100% agree. We've talked about this. The personnel on this team is far superior, especially on offense, than the production that's being provided. And the question comes back to why. And yes, the players take some of the responsibility for sure on that. But you know who else does a lot of it? The coaching. I'm sorry, but there is no way that you can't tell me that game plan offensively last night didn't suck. It was absolutely. And don't give me. So the whole mantra of this show from day one for 2021 and the Vikings has been no excuses, right? Do not tell me, well, the offensive line played poorly, so what were they supposed to do? Okay, it's their offensive line. Nobody, if you want the Vikings to win and you are a diehard Vikings fan, and yet you are going to give out get out of jail free cards today to anybody on this team, you are part of the problem. You are part of the, and don't say, well, it's my team. Do you crave what you saw last night? Because that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. You almost blew a game to Dan Campbell and the Lions. That game was disgusting, but you won. Carolina, you almost blew inexcusably. You know, you dodged a bullet twice. You couldn't do it a third time. And if I have to hear, well, the offensive line didn't play well, so Kirk, I mean, you can't blame this and you can't blame that. No. It's a game plan. You're coming out of a bye week. The scripted plays were outstanding. And then you forgot about Justin Jefferson. Okay. So, like, if you want excuses, there are other outlets to go to. And seriously, just go there. That's fine. Like, I'm sorry. I can't do it anymore. I can't have, we have cultivated such a good following here, a family, a surly family here at Score North.
Family. Is it an acronym like the Gophers?
No, it's just a family. I love you people. But
forget about me. But I love you.
But if you are hate watching us because you're like, there, oh, it's typical Score North drama, just go away. Our family's too tight. We need a family today that pulls together to realize what we saw last night is crap. And if you don't agree, you're just wrong.
And honestly, like, people are coming together. Last night, Vikings Ventline on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, and you can find these, everything we do, scorenorth.com and the Scorenorth app. It's the most people we've ever had post-game Vikings Ventline. And we've been doing this show on the radio for 7 years, transitioned it more to a YouTube podcast product. People are fed up. Cooper Rush came into your stadium last night and stuck it up your you-know-whats. Cooper Rush. In fact, let's just get to statements here. There's so much here.
Yeah.
All right. I want to start. There's so much to go around, and I know that you guys are going to have thoughts on Mike Zimmer, but I want to start with sort of back-to-back statements. Statement number one. Kirk Cousins lost to Cooper Rush last night. Just let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let it seep into your pores. Ownership, front office, coaching staff, fans. Kirk Cousins at home in front of 70,000 great fans. 70,000 screaming, Halloween costume-laden fans drinking Surly. Kirk Cousins lost to Cooper Rush last night. And my follow-up statement to that, where there's more meat on the bone here, is with 30 seconds left in the first half, Kirk Cousins showed everyone exactly who he is. And then his follow-up comments, which we'll get to here in a second, after the game, doubled down on exactly who he is. Now, I'm not going to take away some of the great games and drives he's had. Listen, he brought them back against the Lions. He drove them down against the Cardinals. They missed a kick. You know, he doesn't have to give those back. He's played some great, I would say, clutch football so far this season. But the season is 4 months long. There's primetime games. There's games against contenders, teams like the Cowboys. And with 30 seconds left in the first half, one timeout left, Cousins scrambles to his right for a first down. All right. Vikings still need about 20, 25 yards to get into field goal range to put three more points on the board, and the clock is ticking. And everyone in the stadium, everyone, the millions and millions watching at home are looking for Kirk Cousins to take charge. Okay, as that clock's ticking, are people thinking to themselves, boy, what's Mike Zimmer going to do here, right? I mean, Mike Zimmer obviously has the ability to come in there and call timeout as well.
Right.
When Tom Brady's out on the field, Russell Wilson's on the field, Aaron Rodgers is on the field, are people thinking, oh my God, what's Matt LaFleur going to do here? Mm-hmm. No, they're thinking, this is Aaron Rodgers' show. This is Russell Wilson's show to run with 30 seconds down, you know, clock ticking down. And instead of calling a timeout or spiking the ball or otherwise just taking charge in a crucial situation, Kirk bleeds the clock down. Everyone's confused. He's trying to get guys in motion, going back and forth, get guys lined up. Bleeds it all the way down to 5 seconds left, and they wind up with nothing. They don't even wind up crossing the 50-yard line. And after the game, this is what he said.
In that situation, is that your prerogative to call timeout, perhaps? Or
I just let Zim handle the timeouts because I never know quite what the coaches want to do with what they're thinking, you know, play ahead or what it may be. So I was just going to let them handle that and then, you know, call the next play if we're not getting it.
I just work here. I don't know what you want me to do. I just keep my head down.
Hey.
I just walk through the hallways and don't make eye contact with anyone. I'm just waiting for them to tell me what to do. I don't know. I make $35 million. I'm the third highest paid player in the NFL to the cap, but I just work here.
I don't post podcasts. Mackey and Judges tell me what to do. I just sit here. I just push these buttons. That's what I do. I don't. It's not my fault.
So no leadership. Do not lead. Yeah. Do not make eye contact.
So
here's the grander problem, though, from the two clips that we've played so far. The grander problem is this. The players are actively turning on the coaching staff publicly.
Yeah.
That's what we have. And when Thielen, when you broach coaching, like unless you're saying that they did a great job, but when you bring up coaching as part of the problem and say things like everyone should care, including coach, like when you say that, mm-hmm. that's not a, well, everybody needs to care, all of my teammates. That's going above your pay grade to take a shot. Kirk's comment, we now have and it's not surprising. Given the events of training camp, I'm not shocked. But we now have sort of a gloves are off It's Mike against us. And when as I affectionately call them, the Edina boys start to go in this direction, because make no mistake, Kirk and Thielen are, you know, the Edina guys. They're the sort of richy rich guys. You got a problem. Like, this is
okay,
bad.
And I agree, and I will, you know, we'll get to all the Mike stuff. And like, Mike Zimmer, dude, you need to empower your quarterback to run the show in those 2-minute drills.
Yep.
You can't have your quarterback sort of wondering when to call a timeout. But on the flip side, Bill Belichick's controlling, right? You know what happened early in Tom Brady's career? Tom Brady probably at some point walked into Bill Belichick's office in about 2001 or 2002 as a young quarterback and said, "Hey, I've got some ideas on how to win too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's collaborate on this." Like for Kirk to just sort of passive aggressively shrug his shoulder, like, you're the presumed leader of this team, guy. You are the highest paid player. You are the guy that touches the ball. You're the one driving the production on offense, right? And if and by the way, you have permission to call a timeout. Mike Zimmer doesn't let me.
Yeah,
dude,
no,
the
I agree.
NFL rules do call a freaking timeout.
I agree.
Spike the freaking ball, or better yet, walk into Mike Zimmer's office 3 years ago and say, "Hey, listen, I know that you like to do things a certain way. This would be much more easy and efficient for us as an offense if I ran the show. Let's talk during the week so I know what you want. But in those moments, I can't be looking to the sideline, dude." Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night against the Cardinals, on a fourth down, didn't even look to the sideline. He just motioned, "Give me a play.
Right.
We're running out. We're going on fourth down here." He didn't look over. "What's Matt LaFleur want me to do?" No, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying we're going to do this, and I'm running the show right now. And, like, you know, people point to offensive line and coaching and defense to try and justify Kirk's record in primetime games, because he puts up stats, right? His record in primetime games and his record against the best teams in the NFL is putrid, and it's not a coincidence. It's not bad luck. It's a reflection of his limitations as a leader and as a player. He's a beta, he's a bad leader, and he frequently urinates down his leg in the biggest games, and coaching makes it worse. So I'm not going to let Mike off the hook here. Coaching makes it worse.
Right.
But Kirk showed you exactly who he was last night.
Yeah. I mean, that was awful. That was brutal not to call a bleeping timeout at the end of the first half, so it's not the game. Like, as I said on Ventline last night, what's Mike going to do, yell at you? "Hey, you can't call that timeout." What? Okay, Mike, it's
screw
the first
you,
half timeout. I called it. Too bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's everything comes back to putting the pieces of the puzzle for this season together, because it's pretty simple. If anybody thought it was a positive that Kirk and Mike, for the first time in Kirk's tenure here, were sitting down for an hour a week or so and like, okay, they've turned a corner, that's an indictment. It's a complete indictment. All the training camp BS was an indictment against both. So here's my statement. It's just so simple. My statement is this. It's over. It's just all over. Last night confirmed everything that we need to see. We need to see, and I don't know if Mike gets fired this week. I don't know if Mike gets fired today. I don't know if Mike gets fired in January. And I really don't care at this point in time. It's done. There will be a new coach. I don't know. I know that there's going to be people saying, "Well, what about Rick Spielman?" I don't know. He gets fired too. But I will say this. The new coach is going to decide on who the quarterback is going to be. And if he doesn't like Kirk, Kirk will be traded. But it's over. Like, we have now seen, I don't care. They're going to make a run at some point, and I don't care anymore. We have seen what we need to see to know that this in no way is a championship caliber team. And the way it's constructed as far as philosophy now is sideways, and it's all wrong. What we saw last night, it was a gift in one way. It answered the question, what can they do? When the going gets tough, they can do nothing. A head coach who preaches accountability at every turn is calling back-to-back timeouts and then trying to pass the buck while saying, "Well, it's my fault, but. This guy preaches accountability to everybody and then has trouble taking it himself. It's over. It's my statement.
His record going into the season, this is like, you know, just like we should lead every single day with the Twins are 0-18 in their last 18 playoff games. Like, that should be a headline until they finally win one. Mike Zimmer, going into the season, is 17-39 against teams that finished the season with a winning record. If this year sort of holds up, and the Browns are back to 500, but I think the Browns are going to finish at least 9-8. He's on track to be 17-43. Teams with a winning record at the end of the season. It's not bad luck. Just like Kirk. And both of them together, it's like kryptonite against good teams. You know, sometimes people want to parse apart, is it Kirk's fault or Mike's fault or Rick's fault? Well, I mean, it's a stew of incompetence is the real answer here. Mm-hmm. All right, Dex.
All right, my first statement. The Vikings saw their next head coach across the sidelines last night. They saw their next head coach across the sidelines. No, it's not Mike McCarthy. It's not Mike McCarthy in case Vikings
Cooper Rush's dad.
Yeah, Cooper Rush's dad, who was just adamant. And honestly, I love that. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. Dude, the dad just going nuts for his son. Man. Like, it was pretty cool. I like that stuff. Awesome. Love that stuff. But no, I'm not talking about Mike McCarthy. I'm talking about Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys last night, cooked up an offensive recipe of 420 yards. Kept the offense on the field for 32 minutes with an NFL quarterback who had thrown four passes in his entire career. 4 years in the NFL, basically the Jake Browning of the Dallas Cowboys beat you last night. They plugged in their practice squad QB, and Kellen Moore was able to cook up enough offense to win that game. Now, Rush was far from perfect. There were some passes that sailed behind. There were some risky ones, but guess what? Kellen Moore wasn't afraid even when he threw across the middle early in the first quarter, which was an atrocious pass. He still fires it back again, leads a touchdown for the Cowboys. If you're the Wilfs or defender of Mike Zimmer, which, by the way, I have been a big defender of Mike Zimmer, but you were outcoached yesterday by a 33-year-old offensive coordinator and you lost a game to a quarterback who had four NFL passes in his career. At home, out of the bye week, a defensive guru. Mike Zimmer has this entire new defense built up this offseason, okay? And the Wilfs watch that. They watch a 33-year-old offensive coordinator come into your barn out of a bye week with a quarterback with no experience and beat you. Now, I know the Wilfs are loyal, but there's definitely a little bit of them that's watched that performance and said, that can be our next head coach. That can be us. So, Kellen Moore, Wilfs. Go hire him this offseason. You saw your next head coach right there. He was across the sidelines last night, and he beat you.
I think he's a nice coach, and I am in no way going to give him that much credit for a defense that is that bad and in the secondary is awful. Bashaud Breeland is the Cooper Rush of defensive backs. The pass that they threw into the middle that got picked was absolutely an atrocious play call. That ball has to go, and they beat, and here's the thing too, they went back to it and got a touchdown with the Vikings in cover two. It was another play call I didn't like,
right?
And the Vikings broke in cover two. This is Zimmer's defense. I am giving, the only thing I will say is this: Cooper Rush is a great story. I mean, as a human being, good for him. That's a great story. I hope he gets a trophy for this and they stick it on the mantle. And when he is working insurance in a year, that they all go back and recall this great day. But the Minnesota Vikings sabotaged the Vikings. I am taking nothing from Dallas's performance from anybody on that. To give them credit would be to give the Vikings a break slightly. I am not willing to do that. That was disgusting.
But I think. Oh, go ahead, Dex.
But also, like, Mike Zimmer and Clint Kubiak acted like they had Cooper Rush last night as their quarterback.
Oh,
they
terrible.
Treated Kirk Cousins as if he was Cooper Rush.
Oh, amen.
And, Kellen Moore comes in and
here's where Declan's right. Sorry, Judd, but you're wrong on this. Like, it's not that I agree that the Vikings shot themselves in the foot. But let's boil this down to one stat. The Dallas offensive coaches, led by Kellen Moore, allowed Cooper Rush to throw the ball on average 10 yards in the air down the field last night. And yes, he threw a couple bad interceptions and probably should have had another one. But they said, no, we're not going to go on the road and just dink and dunk and let Mike Zimmer and the defense tee off. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to take shots. If there's going to be an interception, we can live with it because we think we're good enough to overcome a couple turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
10 yards average depth of target for Cooper Rush. Kirk Cousins, 33-year-old, 10-year veteran with over 100 NFL starts, third highest paid quarterback in the NFL, 4 yards average depth of target.
Right.
I mean, that right there says everything.
Oh, right, but that's a Vikings problem.
No, but I'm telling
you. Any 2021 coordinator worth his salt comes in and picks apart. When Pat P. didn't play, to do what they did is fine. And the passes to the outside were fine. The passes that missed, I actually liked, because those are to the sideline and it's a high percentage incompletion or catch. What I'm saying is when you could pick apart the Vikings defense, when you can get a 70 plus yard touchdown, that's on the Vikings. And the play calling last night was not Kellen Moore. It is the Vikings that were the offenders here. It was Clint Kubiak. I'm saying don't look at what the Cowboys did at all. Look at what the Vikings did. We can't give the Cowboys any credit here. We have to. It's all on the Vikings. The pass yards per play or per attempt is on the Vikings. That's not.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's fighting you on that. I think we're saying look at what a real competent offensive coaching staff
can do. But I'm saying
I can find
those guys. I can conduct a search. Kellen Moore to me does not get a job based on last night at all.
Although it's the type of performance by an offensive coordinator that validates. Yeah. Because a lot of people are going to say, well, okay, like how much of it's Dak Prescott and an offensive line? And then you sub in Cooper Rush and you have that performance on the road, you know, in front of a national audience. And it's like that's the type of performance that probably solidifies him getting a head coaching job, whether it's with the Vikings
or
somebody else.
It probably does help him. I'm saying today, let's not give anything. Kellen Moore is good and he does a nice job and will get a job eventually. Mm-hmm. But what Cooper Rush did to the Vikings is no credit to anybody, in my opinion. It is a discredit to a defense that's supposed to be good. You got beat in cover two on a 70-plus yard touchdown pass. What are you doing?
Well, okay, let me... All right, this is a good segue here, right? Because my next statement, which is presented by Federated, by the way. Federated, you know, the Vikings are so obsessed with risk management. They don't think about, top line and how much they... You could score 30 points if you took the training wheels off once in a while. But if you're looking for risk management, that's where Federated comes in. If you're a business owner, Federated can help with protecting your bottom line, your employees. They've got plenty of resources and people and tools available for you at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. So here's my next statement. Mike Zimmer, in addition to Kirk Cousins showing you who he was last night, Mike Zimmer also showed you exactly who he was last night. And the thing we haven't even really talked about yet, like we've talked about his defense. Your defense needs a stop against Cooper Rush, and you can't get it done, right? You just... It's amazing, and it's a huge indictment. And while that final march down the field was taking place by Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. Mike Zimmer, in a panic, mm-hmm. illegally calls back-to-back timeouts, mm-hmm. moving Dallas from a 3rd-and-16, in which they're almost certainly not going to convert a first down or even really try. It sets them up in a 3rd-and-11, and it just makes it much more manageable. And then, of course, the Vikings miss like 14 tackles on that play to Zeke Elliott. But Mike Zimmer, when asked about calling back-to-back timeouts, he kind of owned it. He said, yeah, I mean, that's on me. But then he also blamed one of his assistants, unnamed assistant, for someone told me to call timeout, so I did. And then he also brought up, well, the officials aren't supposed to grant that timeout because we're not allowed to call it, but they did. But, you know, it's not that guy's fault. So he's blaming an assistant in his ear. He's blaming the official. Guy, you've been an NFL coach for 30 years? Yeah. 25, 30 years?
Yeah, no, you're so
and
right.
And you're panicking at home in that moment?
And you're ultimately passing the buck? Like, you demand accountability, right? You demand it, and now you're... Like, you can't say, it's my fault, but, you know... It's my fault, but Phil screwed me, really.
But the quality control guy was tapping me on the shoulder.
Phil told me to do it. I'll take responsibility because, I mean, I'm a stand-up guy. But how can you preach accountability to your staff and to your players constantly? Yeah. And then, the whole thing is maddening.
Dude, here's the other thing, all right? So it's 3rd-and-16. You know, the Cowboys are probably set up to kick a field goal if they don't get it. But, you know, ultimately, if they do score a touchdown, you're going to want timeouts. There's not much time left on the clock, right? You're going to want timeouts left. So why are you burning a timeout, A, when you can't, but B, it's 3rd-and-16 against Cooper Rush.
And
maybe your defense can probably figure out how to stop it without you having to panic call a timeout in that situation.
And before
they can't, you're fired.
And before that, the Vikings sat on 3 timeouts with Dallas deep in their territory for an extended period when they probably should have used 1 just to stop the clock. Like Mike went from, like, the clock is running and we're all like, Mike, you might want to use a timeout here. It went from that to timeout. No timeout again. What are you doing, dude?
Dude, it's an embarrassment.
It's just over.
So you had – it's amazing. Like, if there was any questions about who Mike Zimmer is in big moments against good teams, you know, he's lost. And if there's ever any question about who Kirk Cousins is in those moments, he also deflects and, oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not allowed to call timeouts. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just work here.
I guess I'm just not bad. I just work here. I don't know what you want me to do. Dude, if you just work here, then how about you shave $20 million off your salary cap hit so the Vikings can find you a right guard in the center?
Well, and
you know, like, what's the point?
What drives me crazy, though, is at that point in time, if that's going to be your shtick, then just be frontal and come out and say, Mike and I disagree on the philosophy of timeouts and he has final say. Just be frontal. Like, if you want to be frontal, be frontal. These sideways passive-aggressive shots are just a waste of time and actually make the person taking them look bad. But if you want to say, I'm not allowed to call timeouts, you know, Sam Ekstrom, hear me clearly. I am not allowed to call timeouts, because that's what he's saying. Then say that. Don't be like, well, I mean, it's up to Mike. And...
breaking news here. Ian Rapoport reporting. Danielle Hunter is feared to have suffered a torn pectoral muscle. He's having an MRI this morning confirm the diagnosis. If confirmed, it would knock Danielle Hunter out for the entire rest of the season.
That's what Barr had last year and Dumba had in the fight, right, Dex, a couple of years ago against Calgary? Torn pec, that's bad. That's bad
Triple
news.
H had it too. John Cena came back for the Royal Rumble.
Well, John Cena's tougher than most people.
Torn pec. I think so. Let's do one more question.
All right.
And then we'll have bonus Vikings team. Right. We got to get to our guy Randy in Cottage Grove. I think he's got a dud stable.
As things currently stand, my statement is this: Justin Jefferson has the clock ticking on him, and by that, I mean we are now in a pattern, a holding pattern of this becoming Stephon Diggs 2.0. There's no question about it. You cannot have a guy now in his second year who is as gifted and talented as this kid is, and for him to end up in a nationally televised game against the Dallas Cowboys at home with, what, 4 targets and 2 receptions? Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And one of them went for 18 yards, so he essentially had one more for 3 yards. You took a deep shot in the second series, which was a great idea. It was fantastic. Something went wrong in the communication. I don't know exactly what, but the play was going to work. You didn't go back to it. You had Justin Jefferson so involved in the scripted series that you gave him the option to throw a pass, and then you forgot about him. This is exactly how the Diggs thing went. And while Diggs's motives to get out are questionable because a meltdown on Twitter is just like juvenile, his reasoning made sense, and Justin Jefferson, as he watches guys like Ja'Marr Chase, his teammate, who, by the way, is not more talented, he's very, very good, but so is Jefferson, as he watches Joe Burrow, his old college quarterback, and Ja'Marr Chase hook up, you know, consistently and have success, and then he is basically scripted, he's huge in the script, and then ignored. You can say that it's reckless speculation. You could say it's typical Score North panic, but I'm going to tell you right now, at the rate they're going, they're headed down the exact same path, and I will not blame Jefferson if he says, you know what, I don't think it's working for me here.
I mean, I don't think we're there yet, but it's...
Clock is ticking.
Definitely, yeah. All right, we have more bonus statements to come here, but I need a cold shower real quick, take a deep breath, because we got to get to our guy Randy and
Cottage
Grove here. I hope he's okay.
Oh, God.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, this might be bad.
You know, I think there needs to be some time to think about it and kind of figure out what we need to do from here. Because, you know, this was a tough loss tonight. We had a good crowd. It was loud. Home primetime game. And, we had plenty of opportunities to win that football game, and we didn't do it.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Like, there needs to be some time to think about it, guys. There needs to be some time. If only there's maybe a bye week on the horizon that the Vikings could take advantage of. Didn't they start the self-scout process a week before the bye week? So they've really had, like, 3 weeks of self-scouting.
Just for the offense. That's the best part. The offense, you go to your room without dinner and you watch this Clint Kubiak.
I don't know how well they self-scouted in retrospect these last few weeks. Vikings Vent Line was the biggest episode ever in the history of the show. So if you're looking for 2 hours of just straight therapy, go check that out on the Purple Daily podcast and or the Purple Daily YouTube channel. But let's bring our guy in here. He is the biggest and most passionate Vikings fan we know. He is Randy in Cottage Grove. Randy, welcome to the show. You can follow him on Twitter at RandyVikes69.
I had to do therapy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if I even want to ask why or
With my former. It was try to reconcile, and we couldn't make it happen.
Do you think that could work maybe for, I don't know, Cousins and Zimmer? They seem to not be seeing eye to eye.
They need to cut bait. They need to cut bait. Well, first of all, I mostly agree with a lot of the folks about what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. But I got a bone to pick with a lot of people not giving a guy his due, and that's Cooper Rush. He's a stud. He had a great ball game, and maybe you guys weren't familiar with him, but a lot of people in the mocking community really liked him coming out of Central Michigan, and just a guy who's you call him a journeyman if you want, but every now and then someone on a journey gets to cash it in, and that was special.
Randy,
I
got a question for you.
Cooper Rush.
It's Jeff here. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Were you by chance this morning listening to a all sports station here and a certain talk show host who might have been parroting the same lines about Cooper Rush?
No.
It sounds familiar.
FM is broken in my vehicle.
Oh, that's too bad.
He's a pro is the point. When a pro beats you, you can't write it off completely.
Okay. But listen. I'm all for giving the guy credit. It was great seeing his emotional family in the stands, and he came up with some big throws down the stretch, but I feel like
his mom is easy on the eyes.
Wasn't really.
I don't know if his parents are together, but
I agree with Randy here. I agree with Randy.
Was she? I don't even remember.
I think I was.
What
his
are we
wife.
Doing?
Are we
here?
Talking about his wife? His wife looks looking good.
What are we doing? What's going on?
Was that his wife or his mom?
Even great, great, good for him.
I thought it was his wife. Was it his mom?
I think it was wife, dad, and mom.
Okay, all three of them.
The
bottom line is that
you're letting the Vikings off the hook here.
Yeah, exactly right. You're trying to spin the narrative.
I'm not. It should have been a nice little moment for Cooper Kupp, and then
Rush.
Then they go ahead and take care of business, close it out, let him have his little moment, and then close it out. But Captain Checkdown, Captain Checkers, checked it right down his leg again, like he always does.
All night he check. He trapped me. Captain Checkdown. I'm going to add that to the list of nicknames.
One out of 1,000 for third downs. I mean, it was bad. I don't know. Running out of ways to say this same thing. Zim, I said a little while ago, your seat was steamy. You know what? Just do the thing, and I'll say what I got to say via the stable.
All right.
Yeah, Declan, come on.
Yeah, my bad.
This is Randy in Cottage Groves. What week is it? Week 8?
Yeah.
Week 8.
The dud stable.
Dud stable here on Mackie and Judd. Go ahead.
This is week 8. This is week 8. Mm-hmm. Feels like week 1,000. Feels like week 4. No one even knows anymore. It all blurs together. It's the same script over and over again. Literally on offense. And this is just—it's nauseating. It's another steamer, another stinker coming out of a bye, doing it at home. The place was rocking, by the way. Two of my friends came over after, and they were real loose. So I know that place was rocking. So no excuses this time on the fans, Zim. they're not even going to be in this stable. This is all on you. We're gonna line up a firing squad here. Stud. First duds, and then a super dud, and then a super duper dud.
Oh, whoa. I don't know if we've ever had a super duper dud from you before.
Starting things off.
No.
This is a guy who might need to take a little long gander in the mirror. We're paying you a lot of scratch, a lot of scratch. And you can't find it in you to bust one, to break a big one. Delvin Cook, what do you even do? What do you do anymore? You just kind of roam around a little bit, try to scat out to the side for five. Don't feel free to cut one back and take it to the house. Delvin Cook, you're a dud.
He looks cooked to me.
Here's another guy who just the definition of overhyped, and this is the guy Adam Thielen. Adam, I know you're mad that Captain Checkers is not getting into you even medium deep, and he's throwing these little 3-yard just dump offs short of the sticks. Get in his face. Get in his face. Don't give your little political answer at the press, whatever they call it, gang up. Get in his face. Don't be afraid to cuss. And Adam Thielen, you need to be a leader because he's not. And get in his face, wow. You're a dud.
Wow.
Here's another dud. This is a guy on defense who does a lot of squawking, a whole lot of squawking, a whole lot of standing around. But when it was deep in that game, he cost us. Harrison Smith, you put a hand in a guy's face that late in a big spot. You better focus on hitting and sticking people and not grabbing face masks, not late in the game. And you're squawking and bitching to the refs. Harrison Smith, you're a dud.
Yeah. Hard to disagree. It looked like he went for the eye poke there.
Gloves are off today with Randy.
Now we're going to look at a guy who he's lucky. He's lucky there's someone more of a dud than him because he could have been the super duper dud. But this is Kirk Cousins. You're making a lot of money. Speaking of Delvin, those two guys are pulling down a whole lot of jack. And Kirk, you're making like the second most money in the whole game. We can't build a roster around your ass. Not when you're doing that. You late in that second quarter, you call a timeout, Kirk. Don't even look to the sidelines. You just be a man. Pull your jack up, make it tight, and say, go back to the sidelines and say, Zim, I'm a man. And I call the timeout because well, this is Bungus Bozo. That's the between the ears stuff. And then your arm, what is it, a noodle? Wait, why can't you chuck it 15 yards? Why can't you chuck it 25 yards? Kirk, don't be afraid. If you can't do it, run a little reverse and let Jefferson throw it. Because at least he'll throw the rock. He'll put it on the money. Kirk Cousins, you're circling the drain. Lucky for you, there's a bigger turd down the pipe, but Kirk, you're a dud.
You like
you're
that?
Super dud.
You like that?
Super dud. All right.
Super dud. And now here's the big dud, the big stinker, the one clogging up the whole pipe with his philosophy, thinks he can just come in and win games 23-17 or 17-13, like it's 1993. Like you're coaching coaching in the AFC, something 93. Mike Zimmer, you came here with a lot of hype. You came here to fix a team that forgot how to play defense. Well, a lot of years later, looks like they can't do much of that either. Although they did go up against an underrated guy who I liked coming out of college yesterday. But the reality is, you can't win these games like this. It's not the way the NFL goes. You're paying a lot of money to a quarterback. You may not like that, but that's the choice they made. So you got to take his leash off, get the choke chain off him, or take a hike. You know, go back to your ranch, shoot some stuff, you know, make love, have a cocktail, well, whatever you do when you're as right. old as you are.
Where did that come from?
Because you're not. You clearly, you got to throw deep. You got to take some chances, and you got to let Kirk cook. And they're not doing it. And Zim, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose it today. You might lose it tomorrow. You might lose it after the season. But the reason why is you're a super duper dud.
Randy,
we lost him.
He's gone.
He went to the stick.
He doesn't want to recap the stable.
Goes to mic drop.
I kind of agree. I think just go back, make some love on that Kentucky ranch.
Where did that one?
I think it'll loosen a guy up. Loosen a guy up.
I mean, okay. I felt like the outrage was almost sufficient, but the attempt to tell us that he liked Cooper Rush coming out of college was a definite cover.
That felt like a pat on the back there, right?
Yeah.
Like he had Cooper Rush graded as like a fourth round guy or something.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Week 8 dud stable, the super dud stable, and the super duper dud stable.
Never had one of those before.
Our guy, Randy Vikes, 69.
Nice.
Out there in Cottage Grove. Well, boys, I think it's time for some bonus statements here. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get all of the things off my chest that I wanted to, so let's fall back in line here.
Okay.
Declan, I believe you're next with bonus statements here.
All right, I'll go with the Kirk Cousins statement, and my statement is very simple. Kirk, you are allowed to stretch the field. That is my opening statement here from Kirk Cousins. I want to pull up this graphic, too, from NFL Next Gen Statistics for our visual audience. These nice charts that NFL Next Gen comes up with puts all the throws into context of completion, incompletion, from the line of scrimmage, how far you went down the field, etc.
Dude, this is embarrassing.
And Kirk Cousins threw the ball 35 times last night and had just three passes. Three! That traveled 15-plus yards in the air.
Only five that went more than 10 yards, it looks like.
Yeah. So only three over 15, five over 10, and the check down Charlie Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, just did not want to stretch the field. And you have Justin Jefferson. There are so many guys that he was targeting last night that it was blowing my mind. Justin Jefferson winds up with four targets, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Kirk Cousins is out here targeting random guys like C.J. Ham. C.J. Ham ends up with three targets. Justin Jefferson is up with four. How is that possible? Kirk, you are allowed to stretch the field. It's Thielen. It's Jefferson. Even Tyler Gronklin has a nice catch down the sideline. That's one of them. That's one of the three that's on here.
That's right there. I can
see
it.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that. Instead of you're going back to your cutoff crust with C.J. Ham. You're just your little nice sandwich there. I don't understand it, dude. Stretch the field, for God's sake.
Okay, so what do you guys have to say? Because there's the offensive line was bad last night, and a lot of people are going to say, well, what do you want him to do? By the way, the offensive line, I believe, allowed pressures on 39% of dropbacks, which is the most they have. Okay, but there's also 60 dropbacks that didn't have pressure, but some of those are because they had short passes and screens. I guess my point is, when people say, well, what do you want them to do, the offensive line? What's your response to that?
My response?
It's a valid point, but at the same time, like there are opportunities out there.
Absolutely, and it's a team game. So you have to know what the Cowboys are going to do going into that game. You know, you had an entire bye week to prepare for this game. It's a big game. You had an entire week, off week, to prepare. So my response is very simple, too. If nothing else, make adjustments. Keep some protection in to take some shots. If he had taken a bunch of shots and missed, I'd be more comfortable than the fact that, and this is the Kirk thing, once he starts to see guys, once he starts to get off his mark, once he starts to feel pressure, Kirk Cousins sees ghosts. And so if you watch the game last night, you can see a guy who, pressure or not, was afraid. And that's the problem. This goes back to what we've talked about basically from day one with Kirk, and it's true. When circumstances around him are in pretty good shape, he is fine. But when it breaks down and you're in a fire drill, basically, he is a mess. And so my response, though, to everyone, not just Kirk, it's the coaching staff, too, make the necessary adjustments to adapt. When's the last time that you've seen this team offensively make the adjustments and come out and you're okay, that makes sense?
Never. Like, they never, very rarely does the Vikings offense come out, especially against a really good team, and just go toe-to-toe. Like, maybe that Rams game on the road on a Thursday or whatever it was, like 4 years ago. You know, you can basically count on one hand. And I think I saw the nugget last night. It's been 1,500 days since the Vikings have beat a winning team in primetime. I don't think that counts playoffs, because they did beat the Saints twice in playoff games.
Sure. I get you.
But regular season, because they play like four or five primetime games a year, and, half of them are against winning teams, and they don't win those games. It's been, do the math, like 5 years since they've won a game against a winning team. So, all right, Judd, go ahead. Statements.
When Adam Thielen clearly gives his agent the opportunity to take off the gloves, you're all in big trouble. This guy is as he's a local, you might have heard, he's from Mankato.
No way.
Yeah, not kidding you. It's unbelievable.
In fact,
you know what? I'll tell you, the story is so great and long, I'll tell you off mic. But anyway, when Blake Barrett, who is Thielen's agent, clearly has the go-ahead to publicly basically say, I can't keep quiet, this is ridiculous, and it's the coaching, you've got problems that can't be fixed. That's my statement. The problems can't be fixed.
And Blake, he's an opinionated guy for sure. And like he, you know, I would say he's been one of the more vocal agents in the NFL on Twitter. Like if he's got takes on the league and ownership and stuff.
Sure.
So he does have takes on things, but I feel like he's always drawn a line.
Yes.
He'll go after the league or officials
he's
or
diplomatic,
like broad topics.
He's diplomatic on the teams, which his players play for, despite the fact that you know there are lots of times he probably has thoughts on how those players are being used. No question
yes,
about it.
This is the
You're
furthest
correct.
He's gone
right.
on that front. And I don't think he's going to go further today. My guess is he was probably just caught up in the heat of the moment. But my God, please, you've got something to say, please tweet it today, Blake.
And if he's got something to say, there's no question that his client has said it to him.
Oh, my God.
And yes. he should.
They're texting each other.
And just to be clear here, I am not dumping on Thielen or Jefferson or the receivers at all here. This is on play calling. When you look at the chart that Declan showed us, and when you understand who the receivers on this team are, it becomes more egregious. And I would just say this, find a way to get them the football. They're playmakers. Find a way, but you can't.
Right.
You don't.
I got one here off that. All right, here's my next statement. And we this was a first guess, all right? I'm wrong on a lot of things. I was wrong on Cooper Rush.
Cooper Kupp, quit.
He's been the best receiver.
Quit confusing me with that half-ass quarterback in Dallas.
Can't imagine that clip of me chastising you guys is going to wind up on Old Tweets Exposed this week. But the Vikings made a mistake. Mike Zimmer made a mistake putting a rookie offensive coordinator into that position in a must-win season. And you're seeing it right now.
Yep.
You know, whether and some of it's Mike Zimmer with his thumb on things. You know, I think Mike Zimmer is definitely the one in charge of the culture and the one in charge of the greater strategy and the hiring. And so, like, everything goes back to Zimmer, to Spielman, to the ownership group. But, you know, Clint Kubiak has been pretty awful. Outside of a few spurts here and there, maybe at Arizona for 5 minutes and, you know, the end of the game against Carolina where they had a spurt in the second half against Carolina where they scored a couple touchdowns or whatever. But, like, largely, this has been a conservative dink and dunk training wheels offense. It feels so much less than what it could be with these weapons. And the Vikings made their bet. Like, they went into a season in which jobs were on the line all throughout the organization. It's a win now roster. They loaded up, quote unquote, on defense in free agency. And here sits a 34-year-old dude handed the keys to an offense. For the first time in his career, calling plays for the first time in his career, he was the wide receivers coach at Kansas University 5 years before this. And it was always like, you know, we brought it up a few times in the offseason. I don't know about this. This feels like a stretch. I don't know, Jim.
We did say that, though.
And he's very obviously in over his head or unable. If he's got thoughts and ideas for how to make this thing better and they're being squashed, then he's incapable of managing up to his boss, Mike Zimmer. And it's a problem. In fact, how about this? The Vikings, in terms of how productive are they throughout the game offensively, the scripted drives, eye test tells you they're really good, and the stats tell you they're really good. So the Vikings by quarter, here's where they rank points per quarter among the other 31 NFL teams. First quarter points, 7th. Second quarter points, 14th. And then 12th in the third quarter. And 30th in the fourth quarter. And, you know, some people are going to say, well, I mean, you know, fourth quarter isn't that where garbage time teams score points? Well, the Bills are top five. The Cowboys are top five. And the Vikings aren't exactly, like, protecting 20-point leads in the fourth quarter, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you script the plays, the offense is great. Once you get away from that and it becomes more about the flow and reading what the other team is doing and it's more improvisational, Clint Kubiak struggles, Mike Zimmer struggles, Kirk Cousins struggles, and it falls off. So
you're exactly right. This was the year that you had to bring in a veteran coordinator who not only could call plays, but could go to Mike and say, Mike, no, you know, no. That's a bad idea. You're a defensive guy, Mike. And yeah, Clint doesn't have it. He doesn't. And why they did this, I get that they were trying to keep things as simple as possible for Kirk. But again, that's such a bad excuse. Like, this is the National Bleeping Football League. And we're like, well, he's had too many coordinators. It's not fair to Kirk. We've got to, you know, we got to keep it simple. Yeah. There have been, I think, the last 2 years, three or four, like, big time first guesses about this team and moves that they have made or failed to make. And this was 1,000% one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
Judd,
to the...
Back to you.
No, Dex.
It's me.
Oh,
back to me.
I thought we went Dex and then me.
We went Phil? No, it was Dex, me, you. Mm-hmm. It's confusing.
This is great.
Yep, go ahead.
I have a hockey statement.
I'm blacked out already.
Yeah. I have a hockey statement if the court will oblige.
Yeah, I got some non-Vikings too.
All right, I have a Minnesota Wild statement. I'm going to speak this into existence, okay? Kirill Kaprizov is going to be a man possessed going forward. I'm going to speak this into existence because he still doesn't have his goal, okay? Now, Kirill, analytically, is phenomenal. He's shooting the puck a ton, averaging 3.25 shots per game. That's even higher than last season. His Corsi 4 percentage is at 60% right now, which is absurdly good, meaning when he is on the ice, he is generating more shots attempts than he is allowing when on the ice. He is starting in the offensive zone 71% of the time. You can't be putting up these numbers without eventually getting rewarded in bunches. So this Kaprizov drought, which we've been talking about and is worth discussing, by the way, I'm not trying to say him not cashing in these opportunities is not worth discussing or criticism too, because that is a valid conversation. But when you're putting up these kind of numbers, eventually the tide is going to switch and the goals are going to come in bunches for him. So Kirill Kaprizov is going to be a man possessed going forward. I'm speaking it into existence. This funk will snap. And I believe it'll happen this week, starting tomorrow night against the Ottawa Senators at home.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it. Let's score some goals here.
If he starts to go to the goal more, it's going to help. I don't like where he is a lot of times. A lot of periphery play.
Yeah.
His
high danger chances are down from last year. He's not putting himself in the same high danger situations that he was last season.
What made him so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Danger.
All right. Okay, I'm going to issue a challenge to a team, but it's off of a positive. So in a day full of Vikings angst and Kirill, it'd be nice for him to score. Here's my challenge. It's very, very simple, and Phil will like this. Beat Iowa and beat Wisconsin.
It's time.
The Gophers, after the win against Northwestern on Saturday, sit in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten West, which, by the way, and this is not a bad thing.
I never gave up.
The Big Ten
team.
West is just bad, okay? But the Gophers are atop it, and there's nobody can take that away from them except themselves. Four games left. Illinois at home on Saturday. November 13th at Iowa. At Indiana. And then, just like in 2019... it plays out the exact same with the Hawkeyes on the road, Wisconsin regular season finale at Huntington Bank Stadium. All right? Beat the Hawkeyes, beat the Badgers, and go win the Big Ten West. Erase the Bowling Green loss. I mean, it's hard to erase it, but if you make the Big Ten championship game, I think we'll probably forgive this team. Erase the memory of the loss when College Game Day was here for the Badgers game in 2019. That could all be erased. You control your fate. Take control of that fate. Do what needs to be done and make it to at least the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah. listen, I mean, this is it's hilarious. Like, the AP pollsters are such idiots. Like, they had Iowa as the number two team in the country at one point. They've got Cincinnati as the number two team in the country ahead of Alabama right now.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't even care.
You think if Cincinnati plays Alabama, what happens?
Thank God it means nothing.
Yeah, because
like it used to mean something.
Tomorrow night, the real poll comes out.
But it used to mean like, oh my God, who's going to win the AP and UPI national championships? Think about that. Yeah. We used to have to rely on this garbage.
Dude, that Iowa Gophers game is going to be like first team to 12 points. First team to kick their fourth field goal just wins the game.
Unless you allow
on the spot.
Unless the quarterback can throw the football.
How do you feel about? Actually, no. I'm going to piggyback off Judd here. Just my final statement. Say that. Stop trying to sharpen the pencil of Gopher, Wisconsin, Iowa scenarios here. And by that I mean, when Wisconsin beat Iowa, a lot of fans I saw just on social media saying, well, even though this puts the Gophers in first place, it's actually a bad thing, because if Iowa would have beat Wisconsin, it would have knocked Wisconsin down. Just stick with me.
No, I'm laughing.
If Iowa beats Wisconsin, Wisconsin would have been two games behind the Gophers and out of it. And then the Gophers just have to beat Iowa. Now the Gophers have to beat Iowa and Wisconsin, unless Wisconsin loses another game in there somewhere.
Good. That's how I want it.
You'd rather just have to beat Iowa and not have to worry about Wisconsin. But it's just beat both.
Right.
Just go, it's like they're both very beatable teams. Iowa doesn't have any offense. You know, Iowa got smoked by Purdue, and you smoked Purdue. So
yes,
go get it.
Exactly.
Go get the axe. Go get Floyd.
Row that boat.
When's the last
baby.
Time they had Floyd and the axe all in one year? 03?
1876, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Before we were in the Union.
That's right. The Minnesota Golden Gophers have captured the axe. And Floyd of Rosedale in Iowa City. Here are the happy golfers returning home.
When Floyd was still just the actual live pig.
Floyd was skinny.
The last time it happened. Yeah.
He got on a diet. He was real skinny.
All right. I feel like there's probably a million other things we could get to, but we still got who gets into it.
Yeah,
who
I got
does
a page
tomorrow.
Full of notes still for tomorrow. Let's, no. Some Timberwolves?
Let's park it. Yeah, that was a tough one.
That was a tough weekend. That was a really bad
weekend.
That was a bad
Minnesota sports.
The Wild on Saturday,
well, that was bad.
Despite what Bally Sports North tried to tell you, they were not good. They're on a long trip. This is so difficult. Coming up next.
I had Root Sports. It was great. Root Sports was great. Colorado Avalanche broadcast did a great job. Great job.
You know, not once have you said, Judd, I really wish I could watch the home team broadcast.
Oh, I have the option to watch the home team.
No, but I mean, you've never come back and said, I switched to it.
Oh, yeah. No. Weird. I don't do that. No.
I like Phil.
It's fun to experiment mm-hmm. with the rest of the broadcast team.
Coming up next. The fourth line back checked really well in tonight's five headlines.
Four shots on goal, and the Wild lost.
Coming up next, the Wild did some community service before embarking on this road trip, and that's all we got to show you.
You know, okay, I do have a question in place of a statement for the Timberwolves. Can we get Karl Anthony Towns more than like four shots in a game?
That's in my notes.
How about 15 shots?
Well, when Ant said we need to share the ball. He didn't mean it to the detriment of now Kat's got like two shots.
Yeah. I'm sorry. All due respect to like Torian Prince. Like, all right, Kat, let's start with Kat getting 20 shots. Okay.
Yes.
And then we can divvy them up from that point. D'Lo probably doesn't need 15 shots when he can't make it.
Coming up next on Valley Sports North, the Wolves bench does their job, even though the Wolves lost a heartbreaker.
Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.